Now, if you would turn to Proverbs 12:24 as we continue our trek through this wonderful chapter of this book of wisdom. Now, this is a good subject to end our year on because it's a good one to begin the new year on, and it's the subject of diligence. Now, Proverbs 12:24 reads this way, "The hand of the diligent shall bear rule, but the slothful shall be under tribute." Now, God in this proverb gives us time to ponder one of the glories of His creation, and that is the hands of man. You look at your hands, they're marvelous creations of God. "For the hands of man declare that God has work for man to do." God has given us hands that we may work. Now, God brought forth Adam, our first father, and He equipped him with hands in order to dress and to keep that garden which is called Eden. God gives us 8 fingers. He gives us 2 thumbs. And with those digits, He's equipped us to work like no other creature that He has made. With thumbs made to be in the opposite direction of the fingers, man is enabled to do far more complicated and precise operations with his hands than any creature that God has created. So God intends for us to be a working person, a working creation. And in those hands, God has shown us Himself. For hands certainly are part of the image of God. For hands are of utmost importance in exercising the creative gifts that God has given to man. Now, we know from Scripture that God spoke the worlds into existence. We haven't been given that talent, but we have been given hands to bring things to be. Now, hands are not only created to work and to do complicated and precise things, they are also assigned to care for the body. Each day, your hands report in for duty. What do I have to do today? And you go and you take a shower and you clean your face and you shave and all kinds of things. The hands are assigned their duty and they do it willingly, never rebelling, always reporting for duty to care for the body. They're also assigned to protect the body. And sometimes they may have to sacrifice themselves, if necessary, to ensure that other parts of the body survive. Hands are a wonderful thing given to us by God. Now, the hand described in this proverb is an open hand. It is a hand ready to work. It is a hand ready to grasp a tool or hold an implement or push or pull in order to accomplish the task. That's the kind of hand that is being spoken of in this proverb. It is a hand in a lifting and carrying position in order to make something happen. It is a working hand. Now, it is not a slack hand. It is not a hand that is just resting at the side doing nothing. Or perhaps sitting on the stomach as you sit in your lounge chair. That's not the kind of hand here, or crossed arm on the chest, or because that kind of hand results in poverty and want. Now, Proverbs 10:4 tells us this, "He becometh poor that dealeth with a slack hand." Now, hands are made to work. They're not made to be slack, and God is saying that if you choose to have slack hands, you'll become poor. But the hand of the diligent maketh rich. So the hand of our proverb is not a folded hand, not a right hand perhaps caressing the left hand. It is not a hand that has retired, cooperating with the body in a little sleep, cooperating with the body with a little slumber. For if the hand is usually in that position, the Bible tells us that soon shall thy poverty come as one that traveleth, and thy want as an armed man. God is telling you the results of slack hands. You know, I love the Bible for that. I don't have to experience a slack hand in order to know what the results of a slack hand will be. I can look at the scriptures and say, God's telling me this, thus and so, and therefore it's true. I don't have to experience it. Wisdom is that way. I can believe it, I can live according to it, and the outcome will be according to the Word of God. So thy poverty shall come. Now the hand in this proverb is not a slack hand. This is not a hand that is simply an appendage. It is not a hand adorned in rings and long fingernails and painted with decoration designed to show it off. This is not a soft hand without wear and tear. Now I shake hands with you folks when you come in. Some are soft. Some are hard. Now there are creams that make hard hands soft, so I can't be too quick to judge. But this hand is a hand of wear and tear. You know, I think about the ladies that work in the kitchen and cook the meals and wash the clothes and scrub the floors. And I look at their hands and their glorious hands. Why? Because they're working hands. They're not hands that are just adorned to show themselves off. So this hand in this proverb is a hand belonging to the diligent. This hand belongs to one who is steady in business, one who is constant in effort or exertion in accomplishing what is undertaken. This hand belongs to the man or woman who is attentive, who is industrious, one who is not idle or negligent in attending to his or her responsibility. Now, this is a hand that is engaged in hard work, for the one who moves this hand knows that hard work works. Now, hard work works. It's the key to success. Hard work works. Now, this hand belongs to the man who knows that hard work moves him in a direction of rule or authority, and the opposite of hard work moves him in a direction of submission or subservience. That's what this proverb is talking about. Where does your hand move you? Well, this proverb says you can have a hand that moves you in this direction of rule and authority, or you can have a hand that moves you in submission or subservience. Now, he knows that hard work is not dependent on education or talent or intelligence, or skill, or cleverness, or cunning. You know, a person may say, I'm going to depend upon my cunning for success. Wrong. That will not get you there. Well, I'm so clever, I will succeed. Wrong. That will not get you there. He knows that hard work or diligence requires the giving of his all with a constancy of effort toward completion of a specified aim or goal. And this man that owns this diligent hand knows that in this world where people have dreams to have it all. Now, what are we told to have? We're told to have the American dream. But do they ever say, get to work? It takes hard work to realize dreams. That's what's missing in today's culture. Hard work. We want it all. Well, maybe there's a funnel that'll come to me from Washington, and that'll help. But he knows in this world where people have dreams to have it all, but do not have it in them to exert maximum effort to reach their dreams, it is very easy for the diligent to rise fast and farther than those who are slothful and impatient. You know, it's easy today to move up because it's rare to find someone who will work hard in moving up. In other words, there is plenty of room at the top, for there is a dearth or scarcity in the land of men and women who are diligent. Now, we live in a world that idolizes education. Now, I don't intend to discount education, but this proverb makes no mention of education. It makes mention of the hand of the diligent bearing rule and the hand of the slothful under that rule. Where does the hand lead? Is what this proverb is talking about. And education is not in there. Now, the Bible promotes hard work as the key to advancement. Education may open the door. It's good to have an education. And it may open the door. But once you get in the door, what are you responsible to do? Hard work. So it opens doors and provides methods and ways to accomplish work, but education will not substitute for diligence. Now, a man may spend hours sharpening an axe. Have you ever spent hours sharpening an axe while you want to get it to its finest edge? He may be honing that axe to the sharpest it can be. But how many trees will be felled by the lazy man with that sharp axe? One may have the finest shop. Oh, come, let me give you a tour through my shop. I have the finest tools. One may have the most equipped kitchen. I get a kick out of the beautiful kitchens in modern houses. All the finest equipment, the ovens and the microwaves and the beautiful refrigerators and the grill over here. And mother brings home the frozen foods and sticks it in the microwave. Finest equipped kitchen. The man has the most electronic computers in his office. But without diligence, they are simply show places or pieces to reveal the slothful. Now, there is no correlation between the sharpness of an axe and the number of trees felled, for it all depends on the diligence of the axeman. So our proverb, the hand of the diligent shall bear rule, but the slothful shall be under tribute, presents a reality of life. Being lazy or slothful or indolent, you know, there's a lot I could bring in a lot of words for that. There's a lot of words for being lazy. Or laid back will bring loss in life. Those who choose to be slothful, those who choose to be lazy, will end up serving the diligent. That's the message of the scripture. Regardless of their ability or intelligence or education, it is their choice to be slothful, but that will bring them under others who choose to work hard. Now, God gives us free will. And a part of that free will is to choose to be lazy. I can choose to be lazy. God says you can choose to be lazy. Go ahead. If you choose to be lazy, go ahead and be lazy, he says. Or you can choose to be diligent. God's pleased, I think, when you choose to be diligent. But the results of that choice, who chooses that? Who chooses the results of those choices? God chooses the results of those choices. If you choose diligence, God says you are in the group who will bear rule. But if you choose to be slothful, you will be in the group who will be under tribute to those who bear rule. Now, under tribute means being under forced labor. Oh, who's under forced labor? Well, listen to me and we'll see. In other words, diligence will bring a comfort that slothfulness will not bring. Now, that's strange, isn't it? Diligence will bring a comfort that slothfulness will not bring. Now, this is an interesting thought, for it would appear that diligence is hard and slothfulness is easy. That's the common thought. Diligence is hard, but slothfulness is easy. But God is telling us that the results are the opposite. Diligence will bring comfort, and slothfulness will bring labor. Now, remember that saying, a stitch in time will save nine. A stitch in time will save nine. You remember that saying? Anybody not know that saying? You don't want to admit it. But diligence about doing that which is needed at the right time will save labor in the long run. See that? Diligence. What does diligence do? It saves labor in the long run. Now, the lazy sower. Now, I'm talking about not sowing seed, but a sower, S-E-W-E-R, who puts off sowing will have to labor longer in sowing nine stitches in order to catch up to the sower who sowed one stitch at the right time. That's what that says. Now, who's laboring longer? The slothful. Darn those socks. I'm not cussing here. Darn, D-A-R-N, those socks. Now, when I was a boy, people darned socks. Isn't that amazing? Nowadays, your socks hardly ever get holes in them. They've got all these fancy materials. But you had that darning egg. Remember the darning egg? You'd put that in the sock, and you'd have that big hole in there, and you'd start sewing. Now, the woman who caught the hole when it was little, she didn't have to sew many stitches. But the woman who was lazy, wow, she really had to go to work. So it pays to be diligent. There is much reward in doing things at the right time, with the right effort, and with the right attitude. My, how attitude is so important. So you can, by hard work, rise up to positions of responsibility or rule, or you can be satisfied to just get by doing the minimum to live. Just get by. As long as I have a few crumbs on the table, I'm happy. That's just getting by. Now, as I said, there is plenty of room at the top. But the top is looking for the diligent. You know, I think that an employer is amazed by the young man or woman who will go the extra mile, who will take on the extra load, and who does not avoid or try to lessen his work. My, that seems to be a way of life, is how can I lessen my work? The diligent young person does not have to try to stand out by artificial means. You know, people think they can be known by artificial means, by practiced means, or something like that. But the diligent young person doesn't have to do this. He or she only has to work hard with a good attitude and spirit and will automatically stand out above those who are just interested in a paycheck. It just doesn't take much to stand out, especially in our day. You know, employers are looking for the employee who will roll up their sleeves and are not afraid to get their hands dirty. Now, I was in Pensacola the other day, and I was sitting at the red light, looking out the window, waiting for the light to change. And there was some young men at this gas station, and they were picking up litter at the gas station. I don't know if they were employees or if they were on community service or what, but they were picking up litter at the gas station. And they were using these little pickup tools, you know, these little pinchers that you could, you don't have to bend down. You can just pick them up and put it in the bag. Now, that tool is useful, but it has its limitations. Now, one of the boys was having trouble picking up some small pieces of metal siding or something like that, little flat pieces of metal with a tool. And he could have picked the item up with his hands 10 times by the time he managed to pick it up with that tool. Just struggling, you know, just struggling to pick it up. Why didn't he bend down? Was he afraid to get his hands dirty? Now, I don't want to take away from the boy's readiness to work, because he was working, and a lot of boys were sitting around doing nothing. But he was working. But his work ethic could have been improved if he would have bent down, picked up the piece, got his hands dirty. But you know, the diligent, one of the marks of the diligent, that they're not afraid of getting their hands dirty. You know, I'm afraid, in today's technological age, hands are being set aside in favor of machines. If you don't have a machine, you won't do it. You go out on construction projects and machines are sitting all over the place and a few men are standing here and there. But have you ever seen anybody dig a ditch? That's something in our age we don't see, is a lot of people working together, as we saw in the past. But you know, there are no substitutes for working hands when you consider the whole man. God considers the whole man. And here's a principle. There is more to work than just getting the job done. Now think about that. We think, well, we just got to get the job done. But I think the Bible teaches there is more to work than just getting the job done. There's reward in work itself. Now, the mother or father who does work instead of having the children do it is shortchanging the children in many ways. Now, a mother may say, well, I can do it much faster and I can do it much better, so I'm going to do it myself. And most times you can do that. Most times you'll do it better. Most times you'll do it yourself and it'll be better. But they're not doing their duty as a mother or father, for in work, God brings into children's lives purpose and value. And to withhold that from the child is to rob them of purpose and value. So there's reward in work itself. Getting the job done, yes, that's important. But the work itself brings reward. Now, in Lamentations 3:27, God tells us, it is good for a man to bear the yoke in his youth. What does that tell you? Does it say it is good for a man to get done with his work? No. It tells us that it is good for a person, a man, to bear the yoke. That's good. Bearing a yoke is a burden, but this is good, God tells us. It does not say it is good for a man to get the job done quickly so he can unload the yoke. It doesn't say that. Work is given by God for the benefit of the young man, and to take that from him is not wise. You know, our natural tendency is toward comfort, is it not? Isn't that the natural man in us, the natural woman in us, to find comfort? Our natural tendency is toward comfort, and we think we can find comfort by being lazy or slothful, as our proverb describes this. And if you think about it, every advancement in technology is a move towards comfort or ease. Now, Satan's way, as we've said, is opposite God's way. God has given us work. There is reward in work itself. And therefore, Satan plays to the desire of men to be at ease or comfort, and therefore the actual doing of work is given no value, and no thought is given when the doing of it is discarded. Have you ever heard anybody say, well, you know, if we get rid of this work, it's going to hurt the man. It's going to hurt the woman. Oh, no, just get rid of it. That we never even think about what it does to the society when we get rid of things like that. And therefore, the hand in modern life is moving in the direction of slackness. Have you ever shaken a slack hand? Have you ever cleaned a fish? That's what it feels like. Now, I gotta compliment the pastor on teaching his boys to shake hands. And most everybody in here, the children shake hands well. When you shake hands, grip the person. Now women are different. Women don't want to be crushed. So I forgive women. But men, shake hands as a man. Don't shake hands with a slack hand. For a slack hand is lifeless and limp and has no power. It communicates no power. Those with slack hands, those who are slothful, dislike labor, they avoid hard work, they're easily distracted, they are slow and sluggish, and therefore resent pressure or challenges and have little drive. Now, do you want your children to be like that? It takes work to not have children like that. But those with slack hands justify their laziness in deceiving themselves into thinking that avoidance of diligence and hard work will make life easier, but this is only based upon living for the moment. Now, lazy people live for the moment. Just like it says in the scriptures, so a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep is a worthy pastime, and this is their choice for the moment. But you know, one of the things about God is He always looks further. And He communicates that to us in the Proverbs. He looks down the road. And He sees, what's that coming? Hey, wake up, lazy bones, wake up. Do you see what's coming? I see poverty coming. Oh, I'm too lazy to get up. But He sees poverty in view. And poverty is definitely coming to visit the sleeper as sure as a traveler gets to his destination, the Bible says. So the slothful may have sleep today, but they do not see the pain, they do not see the suffering, They do not see the troubles that those short whiles of sleep will bring. So they're looking for the moment. The lazy have a short-time view of things, but the diligent look far down the road to see what they have to face, and when they see it, they are diligent in preparing for what will come. Now, they look down that road and they say, well, if I keep this up, that poverty is going to come. So they're diligent to make sure that poverty will not come. But you know, God has provided the lowly ant. And the ant, I think, is the epitome of diligence. And God has said, go lay down in the grass, go by an ant hill and observe the ant. He says, go to the ant, thou sluggard. Consider her ways and be wise, which having no guide, overseer, or ruler, provideth her meat in the summer and gathereth her food in the harvest. You know, what's that telling us? That tells us that the diligent don't need a supervisor. They can see ahead what the supervisor wants and go ahead and do it. So God is telling us that hard work is its own reward. And on top of work being its own reward, God throws in the product of work. Perhaps a full woodshed or a good meal. Men, don't you feel good after you chop wood? Ladies, don't you feel good while you're making a pie? Isn't work bring its own reward? And then, not only that, you can eat the pie. And your loved ones can eat the pie and rejoice. So there's reward in work. There's reward in the product of work. Don't discount either. So slothfulness may bring the immediate, but it is sacrificing the permanent on the altar of the immediate. It is settling for paltry, immediate rewards that are soon gone instead of those things that last and will bring true comfort. So we see that the sluggard is a dreamer instead of a doer. You know, and dreams never put food on the table or wood in the shed. You know, dreaming about straightening up that closet, stepping on toes. But dreaming about cleaning up the closet and organizing the shop, it'd never get it done, just dreaming. So that's a good resolution this year. Clean up the closets. Clean up the cupboards. Fix the pantries. Clean up the shop. Organize your life. And be diligent about it. The sluggard dreams of a banquet, visions of sugar plums dance in his head, but his hands refuse to labor to make it happen, and the Bible tells us this will eat him up. We are told this truth in Proverbs 21:25, the desire of the slothful killeth him. Why? Because he never realizes it. He never gets rewarded by work. Not the work, nor the product of work. For his hands refuse to labor. Now, God is not a God of equality. We seem to have a God of equality now in the world. But God's not a God of equality. God gives gifts to all men, but they are of a varied kind. Now, you may have many gifts, or you may be limited in gifts, but it does not take genius to be a hard worker. It does not take genius to be a diligent worker. God gives this ability to all of us. Now, perhaps you're limited in your education, or perhaps it's difficult for you to get further training. But with purpose and by God's grace, you can work hard, and because of God's promises, hard work will bring reward. So diligence is doing your best every day. Diligence is being on time every day. Diligence is being ready to take on extra duties, to ask for more things, for more work when things are slow. Have you ever done that? That's kind of strange, isn't it? To ask for more work when things are slow. Wow, somebody will almost have a heart attack if they heard that. Diligence is not taking advantage of your employer, not thinking sick days are for the taking, whether sick or not. It says sick days. Okay? Diligence is bringing a profit to the workplace. Remember the Lord talked about the unprofitable servant? Just earned his keep. Well, if all you do is earn your keep, do it somewhere else, the employer says. Diligence is working, knowing that you are under the Lord's watchful eye. Diligence is doing everything heartily, as unto the Lord, knowing that God writes your true evaluation. You know, we get these evaluations when you're working. You got to sit down with the boss and he tells you what for and how you could improve and so on. Well, you know, the big evaluation still awaits. And there's going to be a bema seat where we're going to stand before and he's going to get out the books. Well, let's see now. What about diligence? So we have a true evaluation in our future. But God's word convinces that diligence is essential if you expect to live a successful life. Diligence is important in our relationship with God. Are you diligent in getting in the book? Are you diligent in studying to show yourself approved unto God? Diligence is important in your marriage. Do you keep your marriage healthy and alive? Diligence is important with your children and with the church, the body of Christ. You know, 2 Peter 1, and I'll finish here, reminds us by giving all diligence, we are to add to our faith virtue and knowledge and temperance and patience and godliness, kindness and charity. And by diligence, you are to make your calling and election sure. You know, God saved you. Make it sure. Not saying that you're going to lose it, but be what you are in God's mind. Be what you are in God's mind. God wants the best for His children, and the best always includes the virtue of diligence. A good resolution for 2014, what? Be diligent. Be diligent in all that you do. Father, we thank you so much for the wonderful Word of God. What would we do without it, Father? We would be lost. We would be blind. We would be undone. We wouldn't know what to do. We would be without wisdom. We would be without knowledge. We would be without this wonderful proverb that tells us that there is reward in being diligent. So help us, Lord, to do that in accordance with your word. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.